it is wonderful to be here with you today. For those of you who don't know me, I am John. I'm the assistant pastor here, and I always love when I have the opportunity to share a word with you, and I believe this is a word that God has put on my heart. I was quite a bit younger, probably 11 or 12 years old. I went to my father, and I asked him for a drum set. You know, I grew up in this church right here, and I had the honor and privilege of enjoying the worship all the way through my childhood. I'd play the drums on my seat as I was listening to the music always, and I went to him and said, "Dad, I'd really like a drum set." And my dad gave me an answer that at the time felt a bit like a cop-out. Later on, he says he really felt to give me this answer. But he said, "John, that sounds great. How about you go pray and ask God for a drum set?" Sounds like something a dad would say that doesn't want to buy you a drum set, though, right? So that's kind of how it sounded to me. So I went into my room, I closed the door, and I said, "Lord, I'd really like a drum set. Amen." And I went out of my room, went about my day. Nothing dramatic happened in that moment. It wasn't anything grand or spectacular or anything. But then a couple days later, my mom got a phone call. And it was from a lady in the church, and they wouldn't tell me who it was. I still to this day don't know who it was. But they called and said, "Hey, is somebody in your family praying for a musical instrument? I just really feel God's putting it on my heart to purchase somebody in your family a musical instrument." And so my mom starts getting emotional. She says, "Well, my son literally just a couple days ago asked us for a drum set, but you know that's a lot, so I don't want to put that on you." She said, "Okay, give me a couple days." And so a few days later, she calls back, tells my mom, "Hey, it's all paid for. It's at the store. You just got to go pick it up." So I'm at a friend's house at this point. They didn't tell me any of this. I had no knowledge of it. So I'm at a friend's house. They pick it up. They set it up for me. And then they show up at my friend's house, and they say, "John, you need to come with us. You need to come home." And I'm all upset because I'm hanging out with my friends, right? So I'm like, "You know, what's going on? What do you mean? I was planning on staying later." And they say, "We have something for you. You need to come with us." So I got in the car, kind of still had a bit of a sulky attitude about it. I'm like, "Okay, fine." So we go, we drive home, and usually we use our front door all the time, but they brought me around to the back basement door, which we never use. So we go in, and right inside there is this brand new Pearl Export drum set. If you know anything about drums, it's like top of the line. And in that time, it was like thousands of dollars worth of equipment sitting there in front of me. And I'm like, "You guys bought me a drum set? Thank you so much." And they stopped me. They said, "No, so there's somebody in the church felt from the Lord to purchase this for you. And they wanted you to know this is from Jesus. This is not from them. This is from Jesus." And that's why they kept it anonymous. It, as I say, still to this day, I have no knowledge of who it was. But they felt God told them to do it. So this was awesome. So I began to play, and I'll tell you more kind of what that progressed to in a little bit of the service. But that started me on a journey. And I want to ask you a question here today. If you knew somebody that when you talked to them, stuff happened, you got stuff, you were better off, your life was improved, wouldn't you want to talk to that person all the time? Right? Wouldn't you visit them a lot? And for me, this started me on a journey of talking more with God, of taking my request to Him and saying, "God, I want to know you better because you do stuff for me. This is incredible. I pray and you answer and this is great." And so it might have started off a little selfish, but in that journey, I learned a lot about communicating with God. And this is something that I'm titling today's message because I don't want you to get the wrong idea even right off the bat here. God is not a genie in the sky, a genie in a bottle, anything like that, that we can just have wishes and He grants them and stuff. That's not what this message is about. You will not hear that today from this message. But God is real, and He does desire a personal relationship with you and with me, and we can talk to Him, and He'll show us things that we didn't know. He wants to give you a better life and to help you be better at life. He wants to help you in every obstacle, every crisis, everything you face. And He has a solution for whatever problem you're going through. And I want to encourage you today, I want to even challenge you today, that if you're willing to take the time to communicate with Him, He will give you the answers that you need for whatever problem, whatever crisis you're going through right now. So He promises this in Jeremiah. I want to read this verse to you. Jeremiah 33, starting at verse 2. And it says, it should be up on the screen too. So it says, "This is what the Lord says, He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is His name. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." Sounds like a good promise, right? Wouldn't we all like to know a few things we don't know that would equip us better for the problems we face and the things we're going through? See, this is interesting too, because I've talked to a lot of different Christians over the years, and whenever the topic of prayer comes up, I think all of us, and myself included, feel like we could benefit from a little more of it, right? It's like, oh, you know what? My prayer life is good. I talk to God. He talks to me, but I think I should probably be spending more time than I am. I can improve. I can grow. I can do better. So this is something that I believe this message today on communicating with God is for all of us, and myself included. It's not that I've arrived at this grand spot. It's we're all in this together, looking to grow in our relationship with God. And this is what I'm sharing with you today out of that heart to grow alongside of you in this. So we're going to talk about a character found in the Bible named Daniel. Daniel is one of my favorite characters. If you are unfamiliar with him, I encourage you, even use this as like a homework assignment if you can. You're looking for a place to kind of read the Bible or get started into it to grow and be inspired to connect with God on a more personal level. Daniel is a great book to read. It's 12 chapters long, probably takes you a little less than an hour to read. Okay, so even if you break it up over a couple days, you read it in one sitting, whatever you do, Daniel is a tremendous book to get inspiration for. So I encourage you to do it specifically in the area of communicating with God, because he's a man that went to prayer, God spoke to him, and as he did what God said, God did some awesome stuff in his life. And he does the same for you and me. We just read about that promise in Jeremiah 33. He promises to show up if we'll seek him, if we'll prioritize that. So Daniel, a little backstory here, he finds himself as an Israelite. He was born in Israel just before Israel was taken captive by Babylon. The country, or the nation of Babylon came and they conquered Israel and took them away captive, destroyed the city, destroyed the temple, did all kinds of terrible things. And Daniel got taken captive and was enlisted into the king's services of Babylon. He trained him, he educated him, and they renamed him and made him part of his wise men, which is basically an advisory board, right? It's a group of people that if the king wanted to make a decision, he would consult the wisdom of the day, and these individuals that were trained and equipped and knowledgeable in different customs and regulations could advise him on how to operate and what to do. So this is what he did. So Daniel finds himself in this situation, where many of us, if we were found in a situation like this, would probably wonder if God really was faithful, if God really was on your side. But Daniel chose to think differently. He chose to lean into the reality that God is faithful, God loves him, and God had a plan for him in spite of his circumstances, wherever he found himself. And I want to submit to you today that he feels the same for you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, no matter where you find yourself, no matter what happened in your past, what you've done. He loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life, and it's good for you. If you'll line up with that, you're going to experience some amazing things that he has for you. He's there for you. So Daniel leaned into this. So then one day, the king, King Nebuchadnezzar was his name, he had a dream. And he was so troubled by his dream, he called together his wise men, and he said, I need you to interpret my dream. And then he does something that's absolutely crazy. He makes this demand on his wise men. He says, because I don't fully trust you, I don't fully believe that you're not going to tell me exactly what it means, you're just going to make something up. So instead of just me telling you the dream and you interpreting it, you need to tell me what I dreamed and what it means. Sounds like an unreasonable request, right? And then on top of that, if you don't, you're all dead. I'm going to kill you all. Sounds like a bad day at the office, right? So Daniel is facing this hardship, this really tough situation that if God doesn't come through here, literally my life is going to be taken. And I'm sure none of us are to that extreme, but we can relate to this in different levels. Maybe you have a boss that gives you unreasonable requests. Maybe you have a family member that makes demands of you that you're like, this is crazy. A teacher, somebody in your life, that you have some situation in your life that it feels like the person is being unreasonable. They're making unreasonable demands. But you know what? God has a solution in the midst of that. Whatever situation you find yourself in, God is able to use you to point to him. He's able to use you to bring a solution to that problem. And he even desires to. Because here's Daniel in the midst of one of the most corrupt nations of the world of that day, the most immoral. And he could have easily said, you know what, I hope it goes bad for them. But instead he said, no, let me be a light for God in the midst of this dark place. And that's the heart that God has called us to have, where we find ourselves in those situations. Maybe you're working for somebody that's immoral. Maybe you're in a company that you don't align with their values right now. And God's saying, I placed you there to be a light for me. So many times we as Christians try to run from the darkness instead of shining a light in it. And that's what he's called us to do, is be a light in the darkness, just as Daniel was here. So Daniel catches wind of this unreasonable demand that the king makes. And he goes to the king and says, okay, give me a little bit of time and I'll seek God. And I believe he will give us the interpretation for your dream. So the king says, okay, I'll give you a little time. So that night, Daniel gets his three buddies that were taken captive with him. And they say, we're fasting and praying and seeking God. See what God will do. And they pray, they seek God. And then in the night, Daniel gets a vision from God, revealing what the dream was, revealing the interpretation of the dream, and what it all means. So he gives this awesome prayer, and this is in Daniel chapter 2. You'll find this whole story. He gives this amazing prayer, thanking God for his faithfulness, his goodness in the midst of it, that he wants to do these awesome things in the midst of a dark place. And then he goes to the king, tells him it. He ends up getting put third in charge of the entire kingdom of Babylon because God showed up. I wonder in our lives if there's promotions awaiting you, there's different advancement, there's different blessings that God has for you, if you'll tap into his wisdom and his knowledge like we talked about. If you'll pursue him, if you'll seek him. When that problem comes up at work, that problem comes up in your family and you don't know what to do, you don't have a solution, sure you can wing it and think of something, but instead of doing that, you actually go to God. You say, God, what's your solution in this? What are you saying to me? How should I handle this? Help me to see this in your perspective. If we'll do that, if we'll humble ourselves and do that, God promises to show us the answers we're looking for. And yet, how many of us as Christians, and myself included, we get caught up in the busyness of life, we get stuck on the urgent situation, the crisis at hand, and we get distracted and we don't even bother consulting our Creator, the one who has the solution, has the answer, and we just try to do it on ourselves, making it often worse. But if we'll go to Him, He'll seek us. Because the reality is that our crisis, the situation we find ourselves in, is actually just God's opportunity. That's our first point for today, is that the crisis you find yourself in is an opportunity for God to show Himself real in your life, for God to demonstrate His power and His goodness. Literally, Daniel's life was about to end. You can't get much more crisis than that, right? He was about to be killed. And he sought God. And God gave him the solution, gave him the answer for his situation. And then God was glorified. The king actually said, your God's not like any other God. And in fact, it's funny because the people of the day, the wise men, said this to the king when he made this unreasonable demand. It's in Daniel 2, verse 11. It says, what the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among the humans. That's the perspective of the world. It's like, only God can do that, and he's far away. He's not personal. He's not here. And meanwhile, Daniel steps onto the scene and says, no, God's not far away. In fact, he's near to each and every one of us if we'll call out to him. If we'll seek him, if we'll pursue him, he has the answers and he's not far away. And you can experience that same kind of relationship, that friendship, because Jesus died on the cross to provide that relationship for you and for me. And many of the individuals in this room, I know you're walking in that. You know you have access to it. And you're communicating with God. And you're experiencing some of the blessings that come through that. And when I say blessings, it's not always easy. Sometimes he asks you to do some sacrificial things. Sometimes he asks you to do things that are challenging and hard. But there's always a good benefit in the end if we'll obey and do it. Because his plans are good. He wants to bless his children. All right. I was chatting with a friend earlier this week, and we were talking about when we focus on the problem or the crisis, the situation we find ourselves in, we're often overwhelmed by it. Where the solution to it is where your focus is, right? And that intentionality. And Daniel had the same thing. He could have focused, oh man, we're going to die. This is terrible. And just been overwhelmed by it and suffered the same fate. But rather, he went to God. He put his focus on God. And this is illustrated perfectly. We're not going to turn to it, but I'll summarize the story. Is Jesus one day was walking on water when he was here on earth with his disciples, and there's a storm that goes on, right? And his disciples see him walking on water, and Peter calls out to him, Lord, if that's you, call me to step out onto the boat, or out of the boat onto the water. And he begins walking on water. He's focused on Jesus, and then the wind and the waves distract him. It says he turned his focus to the wind and the waves and the storm, and he begins to sink. And Jesus reaches out, rescues him, puts him back on the boat. But it's the same for us. If we lose our focus, if we're not going to Christ with our issues, our crisis, we're easily going to get overwhelmed by them, going to find them drowning us. But if we'll turn our focus to him, he is the solution to get us to rise above the storm, to be able to walk on the water of those storms and overcome that situation we find ourselves in. But our focus has to be fixed in the right spot on Christ, because he holds the solutions for us. And the cool thing about this is my second point is that God wants to use you in his story. I told you my opening story was about this drum set I got. After I received it, I started taking some lessons. I joined the worship team up here. As a result of that, I've been able to lead worship here for years on the drums with the team that's up here. It's been a tremendous blessing, one of the greatest joys of my life to be able to do that. I've loved doing it. And then when I was in college, I ended up getting recruited to be a part of a traveling ministry team. That drums was a part of that process as well, leading worship all over the U.S. and Canada and into Europe even a little bit. It was an amazing, amazing experience. And it's all because I asked God for a drum set when I was a kid. And this is the cool thing about it, is it's always bigger than you, right? When God answers his prayers, it never begins and ends with just you. It's God wants to use those things to be a blessing to others. And he wants to use those to open doors for you, opportunities so you can be a blessing to others. If you'll partner with him, if you'll say yes to him on that journey. Sometimes this takes humility, though, right? Because we have to admit that we don't have all the answers. We don't have the solution to the problem, and we need to seek God's counsel. Because if we just think it's going to come to us without us fixing our attention on him, without us focusing on the things that we need to, we're not going to experience it. And there's a verse that talks about this in 1 Peter 5, verse 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And that humbling is simply going to him, saying, God, I need your help. I don't have the solution, and I need you to give it to me. I would submit to you today that if you'll practice this in your workplace, in your family, in your relationship dynamics, that they will all get dramatically better if you'll do this instead of responding impulsively. If you'll take the time, I would promise you, I'd guarantee it, if you go to Christ first and you say, God, I want your help in how to respond to this. I want your help. This is a hard situation. I didn't like how they talked to me. I feel it's wrong. All of this and that. But God, what's your solution to this? Your life will dramatically improve if you'll seek him. Because he promises that. He promises it. My third point is this. Your best decisions will come from consulting God and listening to him for his direction. I don't think anybody here would argue with that, right? Of course, when we hear God's opinion, it's going to be far better for us. And our best decisions are going to be when we're hearing from him and when we're obeying what he says. Now, we heard a prophetic word today that I think lines up with this perfectly. Because for some of you, that means you have to let go of some things that you've been carrying for a while. For some of you, maybe you need to pick up something that God's been saying to pick up. But I don't think you can expect God to reveal to you the next step he's calling you to take if you're ignoring the last step that he told you to do. So I want to invite you today, because the reality is, if God's told you something, you say, yeah, you know what, I've been ignoring that for years. God told me to do it, I might do it for a little bit, and then I stop. And you feel ashamed, you feel guilty, you feel like, how could God give me another chance? But the reality is, he still loves you. He's right there for you. He wants to give you another chance. And he's calling you, do the thing I've told you to do. Lay down the thing I've told you to lay down that you've been ignoring me. Pick up the thing I've told you to pick up that you've been ignoring me for. Do the hard things that I've called you to do. And then I will continue to open up the floodgates of communication with you. I will reveal to you what I have for you. I will show you the ways that I have for you. Just do what I'm telling you to do. My daughter's been part of a program for the last 3 weeks or so where it's helped prepare her for the first grade. So I've been driving her into this program in the mornings, and it's been an absolute joy. I love when I get that time with her in the morning to just drive her in. And this aspect of communication with God is what's the highest priority on my heart for my girls to catch. This, I think, if they can get this, that God is your source of strength and wisdom, and you can have a relationship with him and go to him with your problems, if they can get this, they're going to have a great life. And so I emphasize this in my conversation with them. I push this all the time because of that. So every morning when I drive them in, I say, hey, what are we praying about today? What's on your heart? What's going on? And it ranges from anything from they want to, you know, see an animal that's extinct to there's a kid being bullied at school and I want to pray for him. So it's a vast range. But this one day, this last week, or 2 weeks ago, she brought up, she said, there's this boy at school that he keeps building stuff out of blocks, and then this other kid comes and kicks it down on him every day. And he gets so frustrated, and he just looks at him, and I can see he's angry, and I want to pray for him today. I said, okay, Chloe. So we talked through like how she could maybe handle the situation to help it in the future and stuff. And I said, let's pray. Let's believe God's going to do something. So we prayed. And then she shows up at lunchtime, and I meet up with her, and she comes running up to me and says, Dad, God answered your prayers today. I say, well, tell me about what happened. She says, they were both there, and the boy didn't bother his blocks at all. It was amazing. And it seems like a little thing to us, but for her, this was a huge deal. This was God cared about her situation, what she was going through, even though it might seem like a little insignificant kind of situation to us, right? And I know many Christians lean into that reality that they feel, you know what, I'm doing better than I deserve. God's given me so much already. I'm not going to bother him with this. God wants to be bothered with your stuff, as any good dad does. I don't want my daughters to hold back from me what they're going through. I want to hear about it. I want to walk alongside of them through it. I want to help them to navigate this life. And God has that same heart for you, and he desires to do that with you. So bring your stuff to him and say, God, I need some help. Hallelujah. He loves that. He wants to help you no matter what you're going through. He loves you. He's not mad at you. No matter where you've been, what you've gone through, what you've done, he loves you and has a plan and a purpose for your life. No matter how long you've walked with him even, too. So lean into that reality that he wants to see what's going on. And as you seek him, you can trust the verse we read in Jeremiah that he wants to show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Because he has a pathway forward for you. He has that for you. With that being said, maybe you're here today and you're hearing this and you haven't started a relationship with God yet. And you're saying, this sounds amazing. I want a friendship with God. I want somebody I can go to with this. But you haven't started that journey. Right now, I want to ask everybody to just bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to give you an opportunity. If that's you, you're here. I'm not going to call you up in front of everybody or anything. But what I would ask you to do is just raise your hand. If you're here and you want to say, yes, I want to begin that relationship with Jesus. I want to begin my journey with Jesus. Just raise your hand so I can see it. I see that hand back there. Thank you. I see that hand. See that hand? Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, I see that hand. See that hand? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Yes, I see that hand. Thank you. All right. All right. We're going to say a prayer together. And you can repeat after me. And if you, the word says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he'll come and live in our hearts. So let's do that together. So I invite everybody to repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart. I confess you as my Lord and Savior, that you died on the cross, and you were risen from the dead to save me from my sins and my wrongdoing. I repent of my wrongdoing, my way of doing life, and I commit to living your way. Help lead and guide me in your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, if you said that, congratulations. You are now in the kingdom of God. You are his child. Yes, amen. And you're beginning this journey. I invite you, please, after service, come and see me. I want to just talk with you about this decision you made and give you some awesome next steps that will help you in your journey and your walk with him. But I would love to speak with you afterwards. So please come and find me after service. I would love to talk to you about that. So now I've got three like practical steps. I know I've given you 3 points. You know, usually I end right there. I apologize, but I've got like the sub-ending here, all right? These are 3 practical takeaways, and I'll go through them quick, I promise you. These are ways that you can implement what we've talked about today. Because wouldn't your life be better if you can communicate with God more clearly and better? Right? So here's 3 quick takeaways for you. So number 1 is remove any obstacles that hinder you from hearing God. So what do I mean by that? The Bible talks about sin hinders our relationship with God, right? It gets in the way. It's like an obstacle. And if you have sin in your life, and we all have different levels of sin in our lives, right? We have areas that... And sin, what do I mean by that? Let me define it. Sin is missing the mark. So it's anything that's not perfect. It's, okay, I knew the right thing to do, and I chose to do the wrong thing anyways. And those things hinder us from hearing God's voice. So how do you remove that obstacle? There's a very clear pathway in Scripture that tells us this, and it's in 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So you go to God in prayer and you say, God, I messed up. I did this wrong and that wrong, and I want to turn from it. Which is, turn from it is a clearer way of saying repent. You'll see in the Bible it says repent. And that's what it means when they say repent, is turn from that wrong way of doing it and do it the right way. Because God gives us clear guidance in his word on how to do certain things. So for instance, if you're praying and talking to God on how to get even with somebody that wronged you, right? God's not going to give you a solution to get back at them, because his solution is to forgive them and to love them. You know, that's what his word says. So you line it up with his word, you hear his word, and you apply the right way of doing it. So you remove the obstacles in your life, which would be sin. If you have a wrong way of thinking, a wrong way of doing something, you need to repent from it, turn and do it the right way, God's way of doing it. Make sense? All right. Number 2 is find your prayer closet and use it. What do I mean by prayer closet? This is a place that you can go to just have some quiet, have some peace, and talk to God free of distraction. Maybe you got to put your phone away. Maybe you got to, you know, get out in nature. You know, I have a friend I spoke to before service here that he said for him, where he connects the most is when he goes on walks on trails and he can just be by himself and pray and talk to God in nature. That's awesome. Maybe that's you. Maybe you need to go to a quiet place in your house. Maybe you need to be in your car on your way to work. There's a variety of different places. But find your prayer closet, wherever works for you, and use it. Dedicate time aside to talk to God. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 6, and it says, this is verse 6 through 8, it says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So it doesn't have to be 2 hours, 3 hours. Maybe you've got a 10-minute car ride. Maybe you've got just a few minutes. But you say, God, I want to give you this time. I want to seek you and hear from you. And a good rule of thumb is that you listen as much as you speak. Because as you practice this, you're going to start having thoughts come to mind, and you're not going to be sure if it's God speaking to you or if it's a thought you just had. And as you continue to do this, you're going to get experience in what that looks like. And that's what I hear probably the most from other Christians, is how do I tell the difference? I have my own thoughts and then God speaking to me. How do I know? This last step will help you tremendously with this, okay? This is my final sub-point here, is get godly counsel, okay? So you hear something, you think God's speaking to you. Find somebody that can walk along this life with you, that you can go to and say, hey, I think God's saying this to me. What are your thoughts on this? And this person should be somebody that's a Christian, should be somebody that's following Jesus and knowledgeable in his word. If you don't have anybody in your life like that, contact us here at the church. We would love to help you walk this out. Okay, we're as pastors, we're here, our staff, we're here. We would love to help you in this. If you have some confusion or you say, hey, I want to know, does this line up with God's word? Because God will never violate his written word, the Bible. So as you become more knowledgeable in the Bible too, so take time to read that, you will be able to discern what's truth and what's you and what's God. Make sense? But get this godly counsel. Find this person in your life that you can talk to, that you could say, hey, you know, this is something I think God is saying. What does the Bible say about this? Is it contrary in any way to what the Bible says? And make sure it's a person that cares about you as a person. This person should not be trying to control or dominate you or say, oh yeah, you can't make any decision until I tell you. No, it's not like that at all. But they're here because they care about you. And they want to help you make biblical decisions so you can have a better life that God has for you. Because as we apply God's principles, we are going to have a better life. So these are three practical, super easy steps. So again, it's in backwards order, is get godly counsel, find your prayer closet and use it, and then remove any obstacles that are preventing you from hearing God's voice. With that, I want to invite you to stand just as we close in prayer today. Thank you for being here, for coming and participating in what God's doing here at Reach Out. It's fun to be a part of Reach Out Church, I'll tell you. So glad you joined us today. Let's close in prayer. And before we do, I always invite everybody when I speak to just ask the Holy Spirit what he's speaking to you through this message. So I want you to do that. Just, you can do it audibly. You can do it just to yourself. Just say, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me through this message? And as you're meditating on that, I'm going to close this out in prayer and say, Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you have for us today, that you want a relationship with each and every person in this room, and that you have amazing and great things to reveal to them as they pursue you, as they seek you. So I ask that you would inspire, you would encourage your children here today to seek you for all that you have. When their crisis comes up, when their situations attack them, Lord, that they'll turn to you first, knowing that you have the solution, you have the answer for their problem. And I thank you for that. I ask that you would speak to your children, you would show them what to pick up, what to lay down, what direction to go. And I thank you that your word promises you will do so. Bless them as they go about your will today and the rest of this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. If anybody needs prayer, please feel free to come up to me. I would love to pray with you. God bless you. Thanks for being here.